Good morning. I want to greet each one in Christ's name this morning. I'm happy to be here and just have to think about the name of Jesus and how that name is really precious to us. And it's because of Jesus that we're here today, and just thought of how he, just thankful for what he has done for myself and for each of us. That song that we sang that words cannot express. I don't think that they can, that we can actually express how thankful we should be or how we are of what he really has done for us. And I appreciate that song that we sang. I want to welcome everyone here this morning. I know that you've been welcomed already, but I too want to say that we're happy to have everyone here that is here. This morning, my message is about abiding in Christ, and my mind doesn't think very well. I don't know how my mind thinks, but for sure, but sometimes I think it doesn't think correctly. And when I was studying, I started off with the subject of backsliding, and I was studying backsliding, and as I kept going along, I come to this place where it didn't make sense that just to be on backsliding, because I just want to tell you this because it'll maybe help you explain the message a little better. I came to a place where I thought, well, if I'm going to speak about backsliding, I need to straighten it up and give up the good side or the hope that can come to people. And it struck me that, you know, to maintenance our lives so that we don't backslide, we have to abide in Christ. And it switched. And so I have a little portion of it possibly that has to do with backsliding, but if we focus on the positive, where we want to be, we need to, it's abiding in Christ. And the purpose of this message is, I realized how important it is for us to abide in Christ, and it's much more important than what we sometimes think. And first of all, I'd like to give a little review of the perspective that we have of Christians who have backslidden, and also a perspective of our personal Christian walk. We all have friends and family who have slipped away from being a Christian. They have backslidden to what they were before they became a Christian. And our perspective of backsliding Christians is not always correct. Maybe correct isn't the right word. Maybe it's that we get calloused in our thinking. We tend to overlook the seriousness of their faith. And some of the reasons that we do, or that I do, is because we've prayed for them. We lost sleep trying to help them, and they still continue to backslide. And eventually some of them give up being a Christian. And it seems that after time that we lose that burden, and we become callous to how terrible it is that these people that have backslidden are going to hell. I have a brother that I think is lost. I have doubts that he's on his way to heaven. Sometimes I think he might be, but I don't know for sure. And every now and then I think about how serious it is. It makes me sad that I think about that. And it's sad because a backsliding person eventually will be cut away from the vine, and he'll become eternally lost. Now, I know that they can change, but I'm just saying that that's the state that they are in. And even in our own Christian lives, when we bring it down to our personal lives, we are tempted to think at times that we can get by without giving our full attention to our Christian walk. We're tempted we are tempted to think, I won't lose my salvation by being lazy or careless in my Christian walk. I will lose being close to Jesus, but if I don't give it my complete attention, I won't be close to Jesus like I should be, but I won't lose my salvation. And we make excuses for ourselves, saying, you know, I don't have enough time right now to take care of my Christian walk. And I thought of the verse in Philippians 2:12 where it says that we should work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And I believe that this is the part of our salvation that we need to work out. That is to be diligent in our Christian walk. I think that's what he was saying when he wrote that to that church. We have a natural tendency to forget about or to forget how important it is to be fully connected to Christ continually. And overall, as we see Christian people struggling to be fully connected to Christ, and even in our own Christian walk, it's easy for us to say, let's pray for so-and-so because he or she is struggling, or please pray for me because I'm struggling. But I wonder sometimes if we don't, if we forget that this probably is more serious than just a little struggle. We treat it like it's just a little struggle that a little prayer will get over it. What really is happening when this is going on, that we are at we're not abiding in Christ. Those people aren't abiding in Christ like they should be. They're backsliding. And they're people like that, whether it's ourselves or other people, we have come to a why on our path, on our journey, in our Christian life. And one way leads to heaven and one way leads to hell. People that are in this position that are not abiding in Christ like we should be, we're backsliding. That's what's going on. And when we get into this place, when we're not close to God like we should be, and we are backsliding, there seems like we come to a lot of places in our journey where there is a why. A lot of times we come to that, and more than necessary, it would seem. And the problem is that there's a lack of commitment, for one, and we're not connecting that our why decisions with the end results like we should be. So if we could put a picture in our minds this morning of two different roads, and at the end of those two different roads is eternity, and everybody understands that. But before you go into eternity, there is two different gates. One gate opens up into heaven, and the other opens up into hell. And now let's just say that, let's get rid of those two roads. Let's come back to where those roads split and where that Y was. And let's just say that when you come to a Y, actually what you're coming to is two different doors, two different gates. There's nothing in between. So one door says heaven, one says hell. And I think that if you come to look at it that way, if we ask ourselves, or I ask everyone, which door would you choose? I don't think anybody would choose the door to hell. Each person here today, myself, would always choose heaven. We'd choose the gate to heaven. I don't think that anybody that knows about heaven or hell would choose anything different than heaven. They would always choose that. So that tells us that the problem really is with backsliding Christians and with people who are really struggling. And I don't want to just say that it's always this, but I just want to make it simple. That the real problem that we are faced with is that the gates that we are of heaven and hell, there is a span in between there. There's two roads before it gets there, And we, if we take those roads out, we would always make that decision the right decision. But because those two roads are there, we don't, with all the, there's an uncertain amount of time before we see the door of heaven. We can't, it's hard for us to remember or believe that the decisions that we are making is easily, is really about walking through two different doors. It's not about which, we think it's about which path to take, but really it's about just deciding heaven or hell. That's what it's about. And if you're struggling to go all the way with Jesus or having a hard time choosing the narrow, rugged path, you know, try thinking about that it's just two different doors, not all this other stuff in between. Don't, rather, you know, we want to think about all the time and all the miles that are going to be traveled from the beginning of the Y in the road until the end of the journey. But when we come to the end of our lives, or when the Lord returns, there will be no time for choosing at that time. Our choice was when we chose which road in, when we go through our life. And it's not, when we come to the end of the end of into eternity, when we walk into eternity, there will be only one gate open, and that gate will have already been decided by our choices prior to that, and depending on what our walk was or if we have backslidden or not. It also takes faith and love to choose. It's sometimes very difficult to choose the correct path. The path that leads to heaven is not always easy to choose, because it takes commitment to choose. It takes love to choose, or excuse me, it takes faith to choose that path. Because we can already see at the Y, when we're back at the Y, that the path to heaven is not a good-looking path. We know enough about living a Christian walk, living a Christian life and walking in a Christian path, that it's a narrow path and it's rugged, and it's also filled with many unforeseen hardships. So when it comes to choosing with which path you should take, it isn't an easy choice. The end result, you can't even see the end result. You can't see the gate. You can't see the gates that say heaven or hell when you choose. All you can see is that road. And the one that leads to hell is often broad. It's often paved nice. It's a nice road to take. It seems easy, although experience will tell you it's not an easy road, but it does seem easy at the beginning. And so at that place in the decision part of your life, it's not always easy to see that. But if people would believe the truth from the Bible, they would know that when they choose the rugged path, they are choosing the door to heaven. Many people don't think that decision is that serious. Instead, we believe that time is on our side and that we can choose the rugged path when we get older. And it would help many of people would help themselves out if they would believe that choosing the path is same as choosing doors or choosing the gate that lead immediately into heaven or immediately into hell, depending on which path you chose. So the idea that I'm presenting is that if we would make all of our decisions eternal decisions, believing that we will be in eternity 1 minute after we've made the decision, how much would that change your decisions, your choices of what, of how you live and what you do? And how many of the choices that you made in the last week or two would you change if you looked at it from that? And it seems like we have gotten away from what I've said of abiding in Christ, but I want to bring it back together a little bit now and read some scripture too. But I guess the thing I would want to bring out is I believe that a big part of abiding in Christ is making choices that securely put our souls in heaven. And as I have studied this, I recognize that abiding in Christ is a lot about decisions and choices that we make in our day. But if you would like to, you could turn with me to John 15. I'd like to read, that's a very familiar chapter. Just like to read the first 11 verses. Talks about abiding in Christ here in this chapter, bearing fruit. Excuse me. And there could be a lot more said about this, more than what I'm going to say this morning. This is a very interesting story and an illustration that Jesus pointed out, and it just stood out to me as I was studying about people backsliding and why they backslide, that this really is the thing that we need to do to maintenance our lives, abiding in Christ. John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. I'm going to stop there. And here we see that Jesus has used an example of a tree bearing fruit or a vine as a test of whether we are abiding in Christ or abiding in him. If we are abiding in Christ, we will bear fruit. If we are not abiding in him, we will not bear fruit. He explained it, Jesus explained it in a very clear way. It's easy for us to understand. We don't have to guess or study long and hard to understand what he said here. He said it very plainly. He painted a black and white picture. There are no exceptions or ways to get around this truth. If the branch doesn't bear fruit, it will be cut off from the vine. So, there's many other things that are said in here in this little chapter that we read, but I'm not going to talk about many more of them, just focus on this. The question that we might have when we read this passage is, we won't have any questions about what it is to how Jesus will look at abiding or not abiding. That's very clear. But why do some of the branches quit bearing fruit? What makes a branch quit bearing fruit? And the most common reason in real life for a tree or a branch on a tree that it quits bearing fruit is because it doesn't get enough food, just doesn't get enough water or nutrients. That's the most, if you go look up trees and growth, and I don't know what the word you're supposed to use for that is, but if you look at that, study that, what I read was that a drought, not having enough water, is the most common reason for one branch to die. There's other reasons, but that's the most common one. And I believe it is in our lives. When we quit bearing fruit, it's because we are not getting enough spiritual food and water. We are not abiding in Christ, and we're backsliding. And a branch will take all the water and nutrients that is in the vine to take. So a branch on a tree won't say, I'm going to quit. I don't want that water. I just don't want it. It won't say that unless there's something wrong with the branch. It's something else happened. And so that's the difference between us and a branch. To abide in Christ, we as Christians need to take all the water and nutrients that is available to us. And there's no lack for us. We as Christians, we can have, there is enough water and nutrients for us to live and bear fruit, and plenty of fruit, more fruit. There is no end to what we can, that we can draw from in our branch, our life. That's the difference between a tree branch and ours. And we have a choice. We can say, we can accept food and water, or we can reject it. A branch doesn't have that choice. Branch automatically, God created them that they take all they can get. And, you know, God didn't make humans, he didn't create humans that way, where we just automatically take all we can get spiritually. He gave us a choice. And that is why we can say that a big part of abiding in Christ is making decisions that for sure guarantee that we are on the rugged path. So to abide in Christ simply is very obvious, I would think, that we need to study the Word, we need to read the Word, we need to be in the Word much more than what we are. And so I'm not saying that to say that you're not, but I think that whoever it is in this setting right now who's in the Word the very most, there's still more. We can get into it more yet. There's no end to how much we can do. We can always be in the Word, and we can grow and bear more fruit. There's no end in this life. And so that's why I can say that without criticizing anyone, that we can do better. And so we need to meditate on it. We need to pray. Talk to Jesus often. Tell him about our temptations and our struggles and that we face. Learn to know Jesus better by studying the Word. And then there is another aspect of abiding in Christ that is mentioned in this chapter that I want to talk about a little bit, and that is talks about purging. It says that when he purgeth it, says that every branch of me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And then every branch that beareth fruit, so they're already bearing fruit. He doesn't really see a problem with the branch, but he purgeth it so that it brings forth more fruit. So if we are abiding in Christ, you're going to get purged in the Christian life. And you might not like that. That might make you say, well, I don't want to abide in Christ. But you will be purged. And on a tree branch, when it gets purged, what they're trying to do is they're trying to take that branch and they cut off a part that is not doing well or that's causing restriction. There are things that a branch can cause restriction from bearing fruit, so they'll do something with that branch to make so that it'll bear more fruit. And God allows that to happen to us too. So when a Christian chooses to abide in Christ, he or she is choosing to seek God. And when you choose to seek God, God is faithful to help you grow spiritually and to become more mature and bear much fruit. When God purges a Christian, he sees potential in that Christian, more potential. He sees he could bear more fruit, he or she could bear more fruit. And I want to make sure that there's everything out of his heart that will help him to bear more fruit. And so if you have this attitude in your heart that you want to bear more fruit, so you want to seek God more and you want to abide in him, God in return honors that by, in his love, he does it by allowing things to maybe... He wants to remove that restriction from your heart so that you can abide more fully. And he allows things in your life that test you or cause you to draw closer to him. On the branch, the husbandman might cut off anything that is causing restriction. And in the same way, God purgeth us in our abiding him. And I know that seems scary and hard. We don't want to go through that. But if we want to be close to Christ, if we want to abide, if we don't want to backslide, that's what we need to do. That is the way that we don't backslide, is that we abide in Christ. So in conclusion, if you see a friend or you see yourself that you're not bearing fruit, you should recognize and be honest with yourself that you are backsliding. And then if you continue down this road, that eventually you will be cut off from the vine. It's a very serious condition. We should not think that we can get by or that we can change later. We need to remember to abide in Christ, and that will give us assurance that we chose the correct path. It will also guarantee when we are at the end of the path and we're coming into eternity that the correct gate will be open for us and that we won't have a chance of going to hell. And one last illustration that I wanted to give yet is, you've probably all seen this illustration, I don't know, but this is two books and they're just intertwined together like so, and you can't pull these apart. And these are small books. I could pull them apart if I'd pull hard enough, possibly. But it takes much strength to pull this apart. And if you get a huge book, somebody told me a number of a year or so ago, that they took two big telephone books and did this too. And it was, the books ripped before they got them apart. It took them an amazing amount of strength, more strength than any man has. It took machines to pull them apart. And I just see that this is small, and I could pull these apart yet, but they're bound together. And I just like to use this as abiding in Christ. It's possible for us to be in Christ that we're so close that you can't pull us away from Christ. It takes more strength to pull us away from Christ. And that's how we want to be. That's how we want to be. We want to abide in Christ that we're just, we're close to him, and we know what he wants for our lives. We have power, we have strength, and we can bear much fruit for the kingdom of God. And also then the verse that stood out to me when I was thinking about that is that, you know, you can't separate someone from Christ when they're abiding in Christ. You can't separate them from Christ. And in Romans 8:35 it says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" Nothing can separate us. Not height, not depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I just think that, I just believe that that's true. And this is a simple little illustration, but I think that we can be that in Christ. Each one of us can be that. And we don't have to worry about whether we're backsliding or not backsliding, or how we're doing there. We know that we're in Christ. So this morning, I just want to leave this all as a warning to really commit ourselves to being one with Christ, being in him, and not being lazy and careless, and also to give us a burden for those that in our families and friends that we know who are backsliding, to encourage them to abide in Christ and to give Christ our all. I believe I'll close with that. I'll leave it open for a little time of